Hallelujah. The Victory Magazine began as a newsletter. One page. No one has ever paid for a subscription to it. We print it and sew it. Now let's go back. I want to show this again. The magazine started out one page. 3,280,000 sent worldwide, English, Spanish, Russian, German, Ukrainian, and French, and Portuguese. There's a praise ought to come right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now this morning, don't you just sit here like you did last night. Hallelujah. Now then, help me get down here. I'm going to need this, and this.
Get him. I'll get this.
Oh, yes, sir. My own.
Now I'm going to date myself today. When I met Pat Boone, I was 18 and he was 21. And he had a little talent thing. And I won it three times. So a little radio about this big. And I won it three times more. You know, it was singing different things. And first television set I saw, there was no television in Abilene. The first television set I saw was about this big around, and it had a fishbowl in front of it. So you could see it. Black and white, of course. How many of you remember Hopalong Cassidy? Well, you old folks like me. He had it put in, William Boyd, he had it put in his contract, TV residuals. They said, what's that? There's not, he said, just humor me. They didn't have any programming. And they had Hopalong Cassidy movies. He made way more money on his TV residuals than he ever did in the movies. Now, since I was privileged to win all of that with Pat, sponsored by Bewley Flour, the first, are you understand first, number one? The first color broadcast in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, number one. The lights were so hot. This makeup was so thick that you could sweat underneath it and it wouldn't come through it. I had on a white hat and I sang Ghost Riders in the Sky. An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Cowboy, change your ways, you'll chase the devil's herd across these endless skies. I was on that.
Yes.
But they recorded it on wire. No tape in those days. And it just disintegrated. Pat and I and all the rest of us tried, but it just doesn't exist anymore. Number one to color broadcast. Now, we must have 1 million partners. This was God's idea. I want to show you a video. It came
from. But now look at this part, Gloria. This is what I wanted to get down to the grit of this right here for all of us today. Speaking the truth in love, Jesus is the head from whom the whole body fitly joined together. But now look at this. Compacted or held together, held tightly together by that which every joint supplies according to the effect of the work in the same measure that every part produces, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. I'm so excited. We'll clean it up later. That we're held together, put together by Jesus, but compacted, held together. What each joint is supplying, and it maketh increase, building up of itself.
Amen.
Building up of itself. Because we are more powerful.
And you see that in that scripture. Because you could have 1,000 here and 1,000 here, one here.
But
and
you'd
have 2,000, but you get two together and you got...
Okay. Yeah, you got the effect of 10,000.
Yeah.
See?
Amen.
Now, when you pull together, when you get this thing going together, we've been powerful to minister to the world. 195,000 partners, all of us working together. We've been strong to pull all over the world. But, dear God, you can hardly mentally conceive of what a million of us praying together, million of us believing together, million of us giving into this work glory to God. I mean to tell you, there's not anything we can't do. Father, Gloria and I pray for our partners right now.
We
receive those all over the world that you're calling to become partners with us. And we thank you for it. We believe that we receive a million partners worldwide.
Yes,
we're
going to
be the biggest Holy Ghost gang on the face of the
Hallelujah.
Earth. We're going to be the devil's worst nightmare.
That's right.
We're going to be God Almighty's Holy Ghost machine moving through the earth, carrying the gospel.
Jesus.
And as we join up with other ministries and their partners, and together, we just get stronger and stronger and
stronger. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we thank you for them and the anointing to flow like what's happened to us here recently, Lord.
Glory
just over and above what we can ask or think, to flow in their homes and in their churches and in their Sunday school classes and their cars. And we just praise you and thank you for them, every one of them, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And I heard it. Let's see. About 18 months ago, it's time for a million partners right here in the United States. And I began to confess it. A million partners right here in the United States. Ministering spirits, you go to the north, the south, the east, and the west and compel them to come. The vision. You've seen Pastor George inside the vision. I want to take you inside the vision. Add weather to Victory News. Sports. Go to an hour morning and evening only. The Lord said this to me while we were right at the very beginning of the revival capital of the world, and then this is the reason why it would be called that. A mission training camp. We have 1,500 acres of land there. 500 of it's dedicated to the church. The rest of it is dedicated agricultural, you know, for tax purposes. The Lord said to me way back, build a missionary training camp where they have to live rough, tough. Build it in there. No help. have to live in a mud hut and make do with training in how that's carried out. Expand Flashpoint to broadcast overseas, London, South Africa, Nigeria, everywhere we have someone. Well, we have offices in England. David Oyedepo, great partner in Nigeria. In fact, he built Gloria and me a house. Yeah. Right next to his. The helicopter lands on the helicopter pad out there. We just walk in the door. It's hot 24 hours a day. Nice air conditioning inside. With our pictures up. First time I met him, he said, "Brother Copeland, this is project number two." He said, "Now, it is a $20 million project." Mm-hmm. And he said, "No American money, no pull for it." But he said, "I read Mama Gloria's book on God's will for you." He said, I got the healing part. It was the financing part that I had trouble with. But he said, you know, we pray, obey. And he said, "The next one is $20 million. We have the money in the bank." I said, "Maybe you need to teach me." These are partners. And I want to take Flashpoint to Lima, Peru, Bogota, Colombia. These are all places where I have partners. In Venezuela, I'll tell you a story about Lima, Peru. Of course, Stanley Black, my interpreter. But no, I don't have time to tell that. I will in a minute. Then repair our runways. We have to have it now. And we moved off of our airport. But that was a naval air station during World War II. And moved over to Alliance Airport, just right there close by. But because of those runways that need to be repaired. A hotel with closed circuit television on healing. It all has to do with throwing the net. A hotel with closed circuit television, and you cannot come over there and get prayed for until you watch Healing School, watch all of Gloria's, watch all of mine. Until you have to watch it and watch it and watch it until faith comes. Then you go across to the auditorium where hands will be laid on you. And it'll come to the place where the missionaries will go to the field. There'll be KCBC students. There'll be people from all around in these different places. And they'll come up and say, "Where are you from?" They'll say, "Fort Worth, Texas." "Why, that must be the revival capital of the world." That's what the first thing was all about. The Lord said, "Don't tell anybody that yet. You just keep it to yourself until someone comes up with it." So there was, George, if I have this right, there was a Hispanic couple, right? Where were they from? Phoenix, I think. And pick up your mic and go ahead and tell what they did.
Yeah, they came. She had a dream.
That's what it was.
In that dream, she came to the revival capital of the world, and she could smell it. There was a smell, that an aroma to it. And they happened to come out to church one Sunday morning, and she said, "This is it. This was in the dream. This is what I smelled. This is the revival capital of the world."
Praise God. So then we began to say that. Now, in this 1,500 acres of land, we're in two counties. We're in Tarrant County and Wise County. The property goes down back down where the church now is and the headquarters and all. Goes down to a big flat. A company decided to build 10,000 homes. They decided, oh, we've been praying. They decided to come in. Now, COVID held it up a little bit. They decided to come in and build 10,000 homes. All the way up to $500,000 houses. Now, there is a Rome, Texas. It's not R-O-M-E, it's R-H-O-M-E or something like that. So I just got in my car and went there at the center of Rome, Texas, drove the speed limit down around up to the church now. 15 minutes. Then I went back and drove. There is a gate that, of course, I know where it is, right there in Newark, Texas, which is Wise County. So I went to Rome and drove down to that. 5 minutes. So all of our partners that want to pick up stakes, nice homes. Now, this was the brochure we made, and I was accused of raising millions of dollars with it. And I took it to one meeting, and I said, "Lord, I don't like that. I don't have this in my spirit." He said, "No, you just wait." Well, here we are. The revival, the reality, the revival capital of the world to be used for the production of God's uncompromising word in every form that the heart can imagine. To my partners and friends, what you're about to read is a detailed account of a vision which first began in my spirit 9 years ago, the vision of the revival capital of the world. God first spoke that to me about this project in 1970. Now, I heard it audibly. I was trained as a professional pilot. Now, some, I won't go into what they do, I just talk about what I do. I don't listen to any music or anything like that. And it was almost dark, and when the time I got on the ground, it was dark. I was flying into Meacham Field, coming to you from the revival capital of the world. I immediately looked at that audio. I heard it. I immediately looked at my audio panel, and it was where it was supposed to be. I thought, where's the revival capital of the world? I know where I went through the political capital and the entertainment capital, the country music capital, Nashville, Tennessee. Where's the revival capital of the world? I don't know. Must be somewhere. And I forgot about it. Dane Adams was on our board at the time. He called me. He said, "Kenneth, there's a piece of property out here northwest of town I think you ought to look at." And so we walked out there, and well, of course, I knew what it was. It was a naval air station during World War II operated by the Marine Corps. And when I got out there, you know, just barbed wire fence around it. And I did this, and Gloria crawled through it. And old fence was beat up and run down. The whole thing was abandoned. I mean, it looked terrible. I stepped on it, and here it said, "This is the revival capital of the world, and you're going to build it." I thought, what on earth with? Okay. All right. So I checked out to see who on it. A bachelor by the name of Paul H. Pewitt owned it. And so, of course, I contacted him. And then the rest of it, as you say, is history. Oh, my, my. Music ministry. We released Christmas in Our Home, a brand new recording tradition, a new Christmas album. And all of these things. TV outreach. Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Our program, accreditation. We are an accredited Bible college. Prison outreach. Bibles, 38,846. Faith-to-faith devotionals, 46,926. Magazines, 11,767. Other product, 13,637. Bibles, 124. And then other prisons. And some of the ministries. Here's 58 ministries. A hundred and forty-eight ministries that we help support. And all of the broadcasters on Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast. They're not charged. Oh. Now, let's open our Bibles to the 12th chapter of Genesis 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I have mentioned it before, and I'm going to mention it again, because it's something the Lord dropped in my heart. And he said, study your first president, Abraham Lincoln. So I gathered up everything I could find about him. Not Abraham, but George Washington. And folks, this was back before anybody had middle names. That didn't happen. That came from the South. Now everybody gets middle names. But George, that's all he had, G.W. Well, my young life, I was told about the preacher in the Copeland family, G.W. McDonald. So Gene Bailey went to, he went to Grave, and there he was, George Washington McDonald, born in Kenny, Texas. And he wore out his concordance and in the back of his Bible and so forth. And Mrs. McDonald, see, my dad's family was Scots-Irish, and mother's family was Cherokee. And so then they were from Ulster, Ireland. And there you have the McDonald. So, now then, let's go now to Matthew chapter 10. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we praise you and thank you for all of our partners all over the world. And I pray for them again today. I bless them, and I bless the Lord, oh my soul, and I bless them spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotions, financially and socially, that they have favor for all around them. And the ministering angels watch over them and care for them. And we pray it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whose we are and whom we serve. Amen. Thank you, sir. Bless the reading and the hearing of the word. Matthew 10, 40. Thank you, Jesus. He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives the righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, I want to point something out to you. Did you appreciate the people standing out here in the rain?
Yes. Yes.
That's the Helps ministry.
Yes.
It is so vital. We can't function without that. There's no way Keith's going to be out there guiding people in here this morning. Amen.
Absolutely.
I've seen it happen all over in different places.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The people that have helped Gloria and me over the years, they were just there. Gloria was extremely timid and shy. And I said, Gloria, you didn't say anything. She said, well, you're doing enough talking for the both of us. She was that way. And we were preaching in a church one time. And I went there once, so I saw, it's so long ago, I don't remember where it was. I can see the pastor. And he said, now, Sister Gloria, when we go out, would you just stand and greet the people? She said, no, I don't do that. So he went out and he said, Sister Gloria, would you just stand and greet me? She stood up and she said, I told you I don't do that. We were at the prayer cabin. And she just talked about healing all the time. And so I said, well, she said, Kenneth, I don't want to preach. I just want to help you. And at one time she was our photographer. I just want to help you. She was washing her hair. And we went there just for rest, and everybody else was asleep. She got up early and washing her hair. And the Lord just said, I want you to start teaching healing and just tell the people what I've taught you. Well, we had learned about being redeemed from the curse of the law. And I called John and Kelly in. I said, we're going to take our flu shot. And John's eyes got about that big. So this was the first house in South Fort Worth we had. And we just got around this big green ottoman there in front of the fireplace. And I went to Deuteronomy 28, the curse. We've been delivered from the curse of the law, and just went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until they got it. And you ought to do the same. Amen. Train yourself that way. Brother Hagin said you can school yourself into it. So, and that we're talking about now a partnership here. And you see what Jesus said. Now this one, I want to tell you. When I get there, Luke chapter 4. And those of you that have been in partner services before, you've heard me read this over and over again. But I'm going to read it to you today, what made these people so furious. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has messiahed me to preach what? The gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all of them in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say, we don't know what all he said, but this is the bottom line of it. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Well, no, it wasn't. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatever you have seen done here in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Verily, verily, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. Heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. Verse 26. Then Elisha was sent to a woman that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel in the name of the prophet. None of them were cleansed but Naaman the Syrian. And they were filled with wrath and rose up to thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of a hill whereupon the city was built, that they might shove him headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, they didn't even see him. Now then, class, you're my KCBC class out this morning. Now then, class, I am completely convinced. I can take the scripture and show you. Judas thought, this is what he's going to do this time. And he's a thief. And so he thought, when he sets up the kingdom, he's going to catch me. So I'm going to go and make a deal. And they offered him 30 pieces of silver. And I'm just putting myself in his mind. This will work. I can put this in the bag. And when they come after him, he'll just walk out from the midst of them, and we'll set up the kingdom, and all is well. But then you go to that last meal. They didn't have any idea what was going on. I won't turn there, but in the book of John, he said, whatever you do, do quickly. And I'll remind you of what the scripture said. Some thought that he told him to go give something to the poor. So he had a reputation of giving to the poor in the middle of the night, or they wouldn't have thought that. Right. Amen?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's in the middle of the night. Go to what you do, do quickly. He knew what it, the Bible said that he knew who was going to betray him all the time. Well, of course he did. And he said, woe be to that man. It'd be better for him if he had been. A millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. And without having taken the time to read it, you remember it. He walked up and kissed Jesus. Now, people that are not covenant-minded, just goes in one ear and out the other. He called him friend. He gave him an opportunity to repent. He called him friend. A covenant friend. Go back and read what he taught in that last covenant meal. But Judas still had opportunity. But in that condition, he hung himself. He's in hell today. Do you know what kind of torment that is? No. But he's there. He's saying, I'll just put yourself in his mind. I was there. I laid hands on people and they were healed. I cast out devils. And those devils are right here with me now because of the Master. Why did I do it? Why did I do it? Why, oh, why did I do it? For 2,500 years, he's been going, why did I do it? Why did I do it? Well, you know why you did it. You're a thief. And he said, that could have been sold and given to the poor. And when people say that, they don't know they're quoting Judas. Right. Iscariot. When we had a Vickers Viscount, which was that, I won't go into how it came into our hands, it was a big airplane. And so we were having it repainted. And this guy was just making all kinds of nasty jokes, and I came in there to check it out. And somebody said, Reverend Copeland's here, and he owns that airplane. A preacher owns this airplane? It could have been sold and given to the poor. Well, Judas, how are you doing this morning? I didn't bother. Are we getting anywhere with this? We give to the poor. Amen. I give to the poor. And just recently I did something. I'm not going to tell you what it is. No. The Lord began to deal with me about it. More and more and more. More and more and more. I started cleaning out my closet. I sold quite a large sum to some people I've never seen in my life that are in that business. And monthly support. And then our own. And our, in our own church. And I'm overly blessed. Praise God. And I quote the scripture in the book of Exodus 23:25. Except I went to the curse where the Lord really reprimanded me. One of the curses. He said, you don't give me praise for the abundance of all things. I said, I do now. So the way I quote that, praise God. I worship the Lord my God with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. My angel blesses my bread and water. And he has taken sickness from the midst of me, and I'll never be sick another day in my life hereafter forever. Amen. And the length of my days he will fulfill. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, now, let's get back to this. This, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the great jubilee. So, poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. Brokenhearted, you don't have to be brokenhearted anymore. Captive, you don't have to be a captive any longer. Recovering of sight to the blind, blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. I'm here. I am the great jubilee. Well, the great jubilee, what was that? That's when all the great jubilee. If you're a slave, you go free. If you're in debt, your debts are forgiven. Well, in the great jubilee in the book of Leviticus, was on the liberty bell. Let liberty ring throughout the land. And I remind you, they rang it till they broke it. And when I studied George Washington, he bought a brand new brown suit. He was a large man. He wrote a book of quality when he was 14. And he went to the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. Well, we know what happened there. And so I won't go there. My covenant is between me and thee, you know. Your name will no longer be called Abram, but Abraham, the first. And in the covenant book of Stephen, I went through this. That was the first record of a name change. And so covenant, marriage covenants since then have followed that. But he shocked everyone. He got down on his knee, kissed his Bible, and looked up and said, you'll be our God and we'll be your people. They walked arm in arm to St. Paul's Chapel that stood and was not destroyed in 9/11. St. Paul's Chapel. And there, the first act of Congress was to dedicate this country. He designed the flag, 13 stars for the 13 colonies on a field of blue with red and white stripes. And to me, my car is either red or white or blue. I went back to my roots. I have a beautiful white GMC pickup. I don't know why I ever started driving cars again. I like pickups. And now it's just white. And so I'm going to have to put some blue and red pinstripes on it or something. Carried that through to our airplanes. Praise God. When I was invited to go to a rally with President Trump, the suit that I had on last night, the blue with the red tie, that happened to be a Trump tie. I copied it on purpose. I go back to FDR. I was born in 1936, right at the close of the Depression. And I watched presidents through the years. This one never did roll up his sleeves and go out there and just, you know, just put on a lot of, I'm going to fight for you. And all of them red, red, white, and blue, and they forget it. This one, Donald John Trump, wore. Now, this is the KCBC colors. That's the reason I wore this morning. Blue and gold. But that suit I had on last night. And on that, in that rally in Pennsylvania, I turned around, I said, come here, sir. Come here. And he walked over, he kind of had a smile, and he had that on. I said, look, I copied your suit. And he's smiling. I said, this man wore this to the office more times than not. And now that you know that, I'll just watch and see. So now we carry on. Partners are working this week, some in restaurants and so forth, so that we can have this meeting. Isaiah chapter 10, I'll just quote this. Acts 10, 34 through 38. Well, no, the Lord won't let me do that. Will not allow me to do that. Because there's a special way I want to quote this. 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, by Jesus Christ, the anointed, the Messiah. He is Lord of all. That word I say you know, that was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism with John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who was the power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and we are witnesses of all things which he, hallelujah, baptized in the Holy Ghost, which is the power. Yep. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And You know who I learned that from? That man right there. Bishop Keith Butler. And I found, Gloria and I found out he's a Rhema graduate. So we were having a meeting in Cobo Hall in Detroit. I said, Gloria, let's go over there and go to church over there. Oh, he had the finest afro. I mean, he's looking so good. And he's tall and he's handsome. And there's Deborah, and she is so gorgeous. And she's sitting there, and they are Rhema graduates. I said, Gloria, you better watch this young man. He's got it. He has the word of faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the afro is gone, but he still got the word of faith. And the miracles this man has walked in. You should see his headquarters now. It was a Catholic monastery. Or
Catholic college. Monastery.
Say again.
It was a Catholic monastery and college. Yeah.
Yeah.
110 acres.
And the Lord said, this is it. And you said, what? Huh? It's just magnificent. I'm talking about what was it the King James said that David said? It's magnifical. Yeah. I looked that up and they said there's no such word. I said, if you ever read the Bible, no. Magnifical.
Yeah.
It's a magnifical place. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
And he and Deborah are magnifical people. Yeah. Our partners, big time partners. If you have not read his book on grace, I'm strongly suggesting that you get it. There's more than one word translated grace. Oh, it's a must read. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Luke 8. A lot of people have overlooked this too. Luke 8, 1. And it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city, listen, every city and village. Every city and village. Preaching, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Many other, many women. Many other women. Now, I challenge you to look up something in the book of Luke. Right at the time of the cross. He couldn't have been over 10... 12, 15 steps before going to the cross. I mean, he's been beat nearly to death. The crown of thorns on his head. He's bleeding across his back. And some women said, blessed are you. And he turned around. He turned around and ministered to those women. This is him. This is his job. I heard the Lord say to me one time, Jesus of Nazareth was not a white man. He was a bronze-colored Middle Eastern Jew. Whew. Well, I'm not a white man. I am not. I'm a crossbreed between Irish and Indian. I'm not a white man. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm not judged by the color of my skin. And this has nothing whatever to do with it. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm challenging you. You go back through the scripture. Sarah died. Abraham, who was dead, remarried. Look it up. He remarried a black woman and had seven more sons, which became the Ethiopian Jews. Glory to God. Don't ever forget it. The color has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Praise God. I don't hate black. I wear black clothes. You don't hate white. You wear white clothes. So just tell the devil to take a hike. No, we'll go to the book of Hebrews and he'll find out exactly what to tell him. And we're going to talk about this some more later. We're going to go to that book of Hebrews. Praise God. Chapter 2. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, in one place, that's translated God. Suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him whom are all things, bringing many sons unto glory, make the captain of their salvation blameless through sufferings, for both he has sacrificed and they are sanctified, all are of one. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He died for us. Now, I'm going to demonstrate something here that I demonstrate at home going. And where's John? And that's all right. Keith, Tracy, just come help me. Now, this suit was made for me. And I just went to heaven. I'm waiting for the Lord to reclothe me. Shut your mouth.
Not, there it is.
Not now, working.
Now it's up on.
Woo. Now I have my heavenly body.
Yeah. Now the supernatural has worked.
In 7 years, I'll be back. Every morning, we're one day closer to the resurrection. I quote it every morning.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's going to happen. bringing many sons to glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now, who is the Lord of hosts? Nobody in this congregation knows? Huh? Somebody said it. The angelic armies of God. Now you know why David was a man after God's own heart against Goliath. He cursed him by his gods. You look it up. Now first he said, that uncircumcised Philistine, I killed a lion and a bear. That uncircumcised. He's using his covenant every place he went. He said, I killed the lion, I killed the bear. I'll kill him. Saul said, you're but a youth. He had to be less than 20 or he'd be out there in the army. He just went to check on his brothers. But he came at him, he said, you come at me with your gods. I come at you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. Right then, the angels were behind that rock. He picked up five stones because Goliath had five brothers. Four brothers. But it didn't take but one. He hastened towards him. Hollywood, no, 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 no. He's running after him and loading that sling while he's running. He'd been practicing and practicing and practicing. He loaded that thing and poof, right there. And down he went. He killed him without a sword in his hand. But then he took his sword and cut his head off. This man's 10 feet tall. His head's got to be big as a basketball. He got him by the hair. Teeth, hair, and eyeballs all over the place. He got him by. I got him. He was Goliath of. Back to his hometown, right down Main Street with the head of their champion. Blood running down his arm.
Come on. That's good glory.
Glory to God.
I had the Lord ask me one day, who made David king? I said, Samuel. He said, no, Goliath. They start singing songs about him. And that's what made Saul so mad. They quit singing about him.
Yes, sir.
And singing about this young'un. And he, now he's a teenager. What do teenagers do? He turned the head in and took Saul's armor and put it in his tent. He put it in his room. Hallelujah. So now, all the people, what did they call Jesus? Son of Saul? No, son of David. Listen to that. Son of David. Bartimaeus. Blind man. Son of David. Son of David, have mercy on me. And he said, be quiet, be quiet. He said, he stopped and said, bring him to me. He had to. You want me to tell you what he said? Son of David, son of David, have chesed for me. Do chesed for me. Loving kindness. The lesser blessed of the on an equal basis. He had to. He cried the covenant word. Son of David, do chesed for me. Son of David, Messiah. Yeah. Do chesed for me. Bring him here. But he still had to say it. Bartimaeus, what may I do for you? Sir, that I might receive my sight. And he did, and he followed him. We'll talk about that more in the morning at healing school. But it's always healing school. Amen. Always. Amen. Whatever we do. Philip preached the same message because this is a partner letter. Now, you remember what happened in Philippi? That means I've preached long enough. You remember what happened at Philippi? That was a Roman garrison, and they had been, well, anyway. So this was written, and you can see it here. The earthquake in Philippi shook that prison. And all of the prisoners' shackles fell off of them. And there was no record of an earthquake anywhere else because Paul and Philip were praising God at midnight. And the prisoners heard them shouting and singing, been beaten nearly to death. And that specific earthquake shook that place. And all everything, and the jailer thought, oh, because he knew if they got out of there, they're going to kill him a slow death. And Paul said, do yourself no harm, we're all here. How'd he know? They're all here. And he took them in, and he bathed them, and he ministered to them. And then they came out, and they said, oh, you're a Roman citizen, you're free to go. They are going to come and escort me out. So this is a prison church. The pastor was that jailer. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, for you all make requests with joy. Joy 19 times in this book. In one of the worst prisons imagined where this book was written. 19 times. Read it for yourself. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and in the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record how greatly I long for you in the bowels or in the heart and the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this I pray that you may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment and approve things which are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of the Messiah, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And I'll come back here and do the things that I've marked and read. Verse 17. But the other love, knowing that I am set for the defending of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, in truth, the anointed one in Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice, yea, and we rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and your supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my expectation and hope. Now, he expectation and hope, they're the same word. What? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Yes. Same man wrote this. And you read the book of Hebrews and the commentators say, we don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews. That author is really come on. He mentioned Timothy, his son. Amen. Very extremely educated man. And it had to be the man that was caught up in Arabia to know all these things. It had to be. There's nobody else says it was revealed to me on the night that he was betrayed. He went up by revelation to Jerusalem. Praise God. All right. Here we go. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now come to chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already blameless, but I follow after that I apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, no, I want you to notice here, there are some italics here. I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let's put that up in the Classic Amplified. You have that, please? Is there anyone back there? I sprung that. There it is. I press toward the goal to win. This is what I wanted you to see. This is what I wrote in my partner letter. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. He's calling us. He's always calling us upward. Yes. He's calling us upward.
Yes,
go to a higher place.
Yes,
go to a higher place.
Yes,
go to a higher place.
Yes,
study and study and go to a more excellent place.
Yes,
go to a more excellent place.
Yes,
study and study and go to a more excellent place. And one of these days you're going to slip out of here and go to an excellent place.
Yes. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
After a few years of listening to Brother Keith, and I kept praying and kept praying and seeking God and seeking God. Praying and seeking God. And there in Fort Worth, out on my deck, I look across Eagle Mountain Lake. You mean there's a mountain with an eagle on it? There is a mountain there, and there's some alkaline areas of that mountain that looks like an eagle looking this way. That was Comanche country. I'm satisfied that the Comanches called that Eagle Mountain because the eagle was sacred. The First Nation people. Amen. That's what my Navajo name is. Wamleho Aste. Good Eagle speaks. I have a bald eagle feather that only Native American people have. I have one. That was given to me. It's a very sacred thing. I was blanketed in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. On the Cherokee Nation. Joe Bird, principal chief. And he said, Kenneth, if we can find anywhere you're Cherokee, I wish I hadn't. Now I had then what I have now. My name would have been on the dog's roll. I had my DNA checked on the regular one. What ancestry.com, and Rachel, my granddaughter, said, "Papa, there's no record there of it." So I decided I'm going to, she called me back. She said, there's a smaller lab that specially for Native American people, because the Native American people wouldn't give their DNA to that white man based thing. So I said, well, do it. I have it framed in my study. Kenneth M. Copeland. So many markers Cherokee. So many markers Cherokee. Definitely of Cherokee ancestry. And there was two tribes in there I never heard of. That's in my DNA. So now I can tell you. Amen.
Amen.
Why is that important? Because I didn't want to lie in the pulpit. But now I have DNA. I was thinking these things, and I was thinking them and thinking them, and out there on my back deck, and I could look out over the lake, and I would go out there and I would see this bridge, and I thought, what is that? And I began to study. And then the Lord led me over to a man called Barzillai. He is the man that financed David and his men when he was in exile. David said, go to Jerusalem with me. No, my king. No. I am 80 years old. And I can't see my children. And I can't hear their cries. No. Take, and he named one to go with him. And I said, Lord, had he said yes, you would have healed him, wouldn't you? He said, yeah. He said, that's what I'm trying to do, because David still needed him, because he's a very wise man. Well, I was out there like, and I heard the Lord say, will you go to Jerusalem with me? Sir, will you go to Jerusalem with me? I said, yes, sir. Will you live to be 120 years old for me? Yes, sir. But why? And he just started out. Were you as anointed when you, I called you and anointed you at the office of the teacher as you were when you were preaching like Oral Roberts? I said, no. Were you as anointed then in 1977 when I separated you through Brother Hagin to the office of the prophet as you were in 67 when you enrolled at ORU? No, sir. He just started up the line. He said, I have a lot of people that live long, but I'm looking for someone to preach the word of faith for a long time.
Yes.
Amen. He said, that's what I'm after.
Amen.
And you're going to have to live a long time and be my partner.
Amen.
Because we're going there.
Amen.
And we're going to build this university.
Yes.
And we're going to build that training camp.
Amen.
And we're going to build this thing throughout. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm preparing in my spirit and writing things down for the university and the graduate schools. Praise God. And a graduate seminary. All based on the word of faith.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord kept going up and he said, now, I just don't have many, if all, that are 90 years old, still preaching the word of faith. That's why I need you. Well, December the 6th, 2025, I will be 89. Stronger than I am now. May I brag a little bit?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. I won't go through all of the situation behind it, but they put me on a DEXA scan machine. Ten 10% body fat. But my diet, I am well fed. And very little bread. I ate these little round rice cakes. And John says, well, there's no written reason why he doesn't eat anything but rice cakes. Thank you, Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. These are my confessions of the morning. I said these things today. Notwithstanding, you all, well done, you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed Macedonia, no church communicated. No church partnered with me, but you only. Giving and receiving, but you only. Giving and receiving. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you in odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's say this. Our partners are a body of believers. This is what the Lord showed me. None but you only. The whole church. My God shall meet your needs by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. $10 a month. Brother Roberts showed me that. $10 a month. $10 a month. $10 a month. Mark 10. What does heaven say? 100 times 10. Do the math. What is it?
Thousand.
It's turned into 1,000 in heaven. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I experienced it. I heard the Lord say, give Brother Hagin $50,000. I didn't say, I didn't have $50,000. Now, I had never seen, Gloria and I had never seen $50,000. Of course, a ministry had in the early days, but not personally. So I just came home and started putting things in a shoebox. And so I don't know what I had in there. Change and just a few bills and so forth. But I didn't count any of it. And so I told my staff, I said, just count this and then just make one offering, send it to Brother Hagin. Then I got curious about how much it was. So I called up there and I said, let me talk to Buddy Harrison. He came on. I said, Buddy, check and see what I sowed into Brother Hagin's ministry in the last, whatever it was, just, you know, a few weeks or so. Came back and said, $65,000. There's no way. I had $65,000 in my pockets. It multiplied before it got there. Ah! Glory to God. That set glory in my heart's on fire.
Yeah.
To begin supporting ministries. Mm-hmm. Now, KCM began January 24, 1967. Radio broadcast, 1975. Sunday broadcast, May 1979. Daily broadcast, January 1998. And cost saved. This began in the very early days of our ministry. And I had gathered up $24,000 of bad debt over the years. It's one of the reasons I didn't want to go to ORU. And in 11 months, we were out of debt while we were there. The church is out of debt. The ministry's out of debt. We have no debts. Cost saved by not borrowing through February 2025, 53,721,042. Your ministry is in good shape. If I was to read that figure, you wouldn't know what to do with it. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let me pack up here. Kenneth Copeland from J.B. Evans, Texas prison inmate, made this for me. Isn't it good looking? I don't know. J.B. may be already out by now. Beautiful. Thanks, J.B. Well, hang on here. Now you know why it's called the revival capital of the world. Now I have some videos here I'd like for you to watch.
Life of supernatural abundance, increase in prosperity in all areas of life has become the lifestyles that Pastors Juan Carlos and Martha Durazo have experienced for more than a decade as they have taken to heart the truth of the Word of God. Born in Sonora, Mexico, they are the senior pastors of Centro Cristiano Carismático, a Spanish language ministry in Tucson, Arizona, in English, Charismatic Christian Center, where they continue to preach and teach the gospel with the same passion, commitment, and dedication as the late founder, Arnaldo Gutierrez, who always embraced the teachings of the Word of Faith of Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
Si nosotros pues estamos gozosos ahí de ser los pastores del Centro Cristiano Carismático, nos gozamos primeramente por la palabra. La palabra que hoy tenemos sale de aquí, de estos ministerios, de los ministerios Kenneth Copeland. Y nosotros seguimos adelante con esta fe, ahora gozándonos de saber que Dios tiene cosas grandes. Sí. Vivimos por fe y andamos por fe.
Es una fe integral que nos ha guiado en este caminar con el Señor y hemos experimentado la bondad de Dios a través de la fe.
It is the God kind of faith that they have put into practice in their own lives, which was their connection to the exceedingly great and precious promises of God that have brought them prosperity in the whole spectrum of life, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, and in every way.
Gloria a Dios, yo no entiendo por qué hombres quieren vivir enfermos y pobres. Yo eso no lo entiendo, eso no viene de Dios. Yo creo con todo mi corazón lo que dice la palabra, así como está establecido en Isaías 53, 4 y 5, que Él llevó nuestras enfermedades. También está establecido en Corintios que Él siendo rico se hizo pobre para que nosotros fuéramos enriquecidos. Y también nos dio su justicia, dice en 2 Corintios 5, 21, que Él tomó mi lugar y me entregó su lugar para que yo tomara su justicia. Él toma mi justicia. Él toma la mía y yo recibo la de Él.
Amén.
Gloria a Dios. Eso nos ha hecho caminar una vida en victoria.
Siempre se nos ha enseñado y siempre hemos escuchado que no debemos de conocer la bondad de Dios en la parte de la sanidad, que tenemos que vivir enfermos, que tenemos que vivir pobres. Entonces, ahora viene esta palabra de fe y nos asegura que el Señor no lo dijo así ni lo quiso así. Él nos hizo promesas, grandes promesas que están en su palabra. Y creo que si tú las empiezas a experimentar y a vivir de ellas, vas a vivir una vida como el Señor quiso que la viviéramos aquí en la tierra.
Gloria a Dios, eso es algo tremendo. Y la prosperidad viene a través del creer y el creer por fe. Yo creo que las armas más grandes que Dios nos ha dado es el saber sembrar una buena semilla. Y aprendimos hace 18 años.
como cuando tú tienes una Amén. Siembra y preparas la tierra y echas la semilla y esperas el momento para cosechar.
Amén.
Es lo mismo que hace el Señor. Pero sabemos que si tú siembras, toda la siembra, sea bueno y malo, no nomás en el dinero. Siembra amor, vas a cosechar amor.
Amén.
Siembra una semilla, vas a cosechar
Amén.
También de esa semilla.
El primer año que empecé como una nueva criatura Amén. En la iglesia, un año muy difícil. Y hoy he tenido la oportunidad de no sembrar un dólar, de ir mil veces más en cada siembra de poder hacerlo.
True prosperity is a reality in the lives of Pastors Durazo, in their relationship with God, in their marriage, their family, their health, their ministry, a successful business which allows them to give to every good work and more. Have no doubt that God's will is that you prosper in all things. His word clearly confirms this truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers.
La palabra de fe, the word of faith. Yo predico, I preach. La palabra de fe, todos el mundo. ¿Sí? Gloria a Dios. ¿Sí? Sí, sí. Sí, sí, señora. Escúcheme. La palabra de... Blah, blah. Let me get over into my Spanish mind. Yo predico la palabra de fe en el mundo. Jesús es el Señor. Sí, señora. No. Hispanic? Someone? Okay, you. Yo predico, I preach, la palabra, the word, de fe, of faith, en todo mundo, all the world. Jesús es el Cristo. Hermana, mi hermano, mi, my sister, in Cristo, my brother in Cristo, in Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory a Dios. Glory a Dios. Glory to God. Dios, deity, Dios, day. Say something. It's going out to the Spanish world.
Amen. Amen.
We have Spanish partners.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
One woman, she just couldn't get the word, the baptism. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so bad. Oh, glory not. Oh, I said, no more English. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, what does hallelujah mean? What? Hallelujah. I said, what does hallelujah mean? She said, I don't know. I said, you just said it. I did not. I said, hallelujah. That's what I said. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I started to say it. That stuck with me all these years. Watch this one.
Well, hi there. My name is Bill Prankard. I'm an evangelist in Canada. And I want to say, first of all, thank you, KCM. Kenneth Copeland Ministry wrote us a letter about 30 years ago, has to be, saying we love what you're doing in Canada and we want to partner with you. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. It blessed me. And every year we got the letters saying, hey, we want to do more. We want to do more. Kenneth Copeland Ministry has helped us reach the very top of the world, both across Russia and Canada, and seeing whole communities transform. Every time we launch out to do something fresh, KCM is there. And through your Canadian office, you've just been such a blessing, not only as a monthly partner with us, but helping us with special projects. We just did a Timothy conference where Terry Copeland Pearson's was one of our guests. And all the budget was taken care of before we went in the conference because KCM Canada and Eagle Mountain Church poured it and helped sponsor them. So we are indebted to every partner of KCM and say thank you. You inspire us. Our relationship with the Copelands goes back that long and it just keeps getting better. I have the privilege of sitting on the board in Canada now and I couldn't be more blessed to do that. Victory Channel is influencing the world. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us the true truth, the news as it really should be, and broadcasting programs that are life. 51 years ago, I had a vision of Canada in revival. I'd just come back from Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. My life was impacted. Revival broke out, and I was being overwhelmed. What does this mean? What will we do? What am I supposed to do? God showed me Canada in revival. I saw it. I saw stadiums across the nation filled with young adults being touched and healed and set free. I saw 1,000 young people in the streets of our nation's capital doing the works of God, seeing people healed and set free. And I was so excited about it. I saw Parliament coming to a halt. I saw the fire of God going across the north of our country. And so I started saying right then, Canada shall be saved. And I knew God was going to do it. And I knew I'd give my life to it, and I knew I'd be alive to see it. And so for 51 years, I've been declaring Canada shall be saved. And nobody could talk me out of it. Nobody could convince me otherwise. Let me tell you something. It's great to have a vision. It's more fun to have it fulfilled. And right now in this season, I am seeing the vision fulfilled. We've seen hundreds of young adults on the streets of our city doing the works of God during the truckers' convoy, people getting saved and healed and set free. We've seen politicians being impacted. We've seen whole communities across northern Canada set free and transformed. And we've seen stadiums filled with young adults doing the works of God. I'm actually living to see it. And guess what? I'm right in the middle of it. God is raising up an army of young adults and seniors, the Joshua and Calebs and the army of the next generation, merging together, merging anointings, merging generations. And I'm not saying Canada shall be saved anymore. I'm saying Canada is being saved. There's a move of God here, and KCM is right in the middle of it. When we saw the stadium event in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, KCM was there. And they poured finances, they poured personnel, and they helped to make that success. We walk hand in hand. We're better together, we're stronger together, and we celebrate that Jesus Christ is Lord in Canada. And that our scripture that our nation is founded on is being realized, that he shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's from Psalm 72, verse 8. That scripture is engraved in our federal parliament buildings, and we are seeing that scripture fulfilled today. It's not over, it's just begun. And let me tell you something. Every one of you have a dream, a vision, a promise, a prophecy. Hang on to it. Don't give up. Because this is the season when prophecies are being fulfilled, when dreams are being realized, and visions are being lived in. So thank you, KCM. And thank you, Victory Chen.
Praise God. They went up to the Inuit people. And they traveled. They're nomads, and they travel. And at first, they didn't want anything to do with them. And so he just began to take some of our books and so forth up there. And there was a little woman came up to him and said, "You come to my tent." "But they said, no, we don't want that. We don't want him up here." But they just kept going back. And so the ministry bought some old Russian tanks, and literally tanks, that could get along in that snow and all of that stuff. And he walked in there, and she said, "You," threw an interpreter, "you come to my tent." So he went in there. She said, "I want to sew." "You want to sew?" "I want to sew." "What is it you want to sew?" "I want to sew money into Kenneth Goy Copeland ministry." "Last year you didn't want to have anything to do with us. That's before you sent the books." They speak Russian. And Russia saw to it that all those people could speak Russian so that they could communicate with them. They have their own native languages. And so they speak Russian. "We're Christians. We sow." He said, "I could. You're going to stop me from getting my 100-fold? Now you take that."
Amen.
And this one man was praying, "We know you're up there, the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle." Mm-hmm. Literally to the top of the world. "We know you're up there. We just don't know who you are." "And now we know who you are, Lord Jesus." Literally to the top of the world. And literally to Australia, considered the bottom of the world. And all the way around the middle in the Solomon Islands. It has finally come to pass. And it's because of you. It's your blessing fault. As my partners. Now you can see why we need a million of you. Amen. I'm in a hurry. I must have you. Quickly. In English, en español, China, Francois. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Navajo, Wambleho. Cherokee. The Cherokees have an alphabet. Sequoia. Mm-hmm. They said the white man has print on paper and they can read it. So Sequoia developed the Cherokee alphabet. They're bilingual. Today they're bilingual. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
One day the Lord told me, "When are you going to start going to Bible college?" Of course, my excuse was, "There aren't any really good schools here in Miami." And his answer was, "Well, you know that they're opening up a school in Fort Worth." And I said, "Well, if you want me to go over there, you're going to have to tell my wife. I'm not telling her."
I went to him one night and I told him, "Listen, God told me something 2 weeks ago. He told me to tell you or ask you, when are you going to start Bible college?" And he started weeping.
I started crying because it had been 2 weeks since the Lord had asked me when I was going to go to Bible college. So when she came and asked me the same question God asked me, I was... One of the things that I feel that we really got out of KCBC was that we learned to stand on our faith, right? Stand on God's word. And two was that we learned to work with honor and integrity. It's something that really was instilled in us while we were here. And I believe had we not operated in our faith and worked with honor and integrity in everything that we did, I don't believe we would be where we are now.
So I learned the authority that we had, you know, as a believer. And when we go out there, we know that authority and we use it for other people that are just coming into the kingdom. And it's amazing. One morning, we were having a 316 experience with each an outreach, like an evangelism training. And while I'm driving here to the campus, I see the field filled with people. And I got excited because this is the revival capital of the world. I imagine this will be filled with people and people coming to Christ and getting healed. And all of a sudden, God dropped it in my heart. This is what I've called you to do. And the fire of God touched me that day. And I knew that day that something had changed in me because I had never seen myself as an evangelist. And it wasn't even in my mind. And God did something in me that then I desired it. And it was like life transforming. And that happened here. KCBC. Our instructor sent us this clip of Daniel Colenda's ministry, thanking the partners for everything that they do. And he was just showing them the fruit. And when I saw that, I saw the multitudes and the people being touched by the Holy Spirit, it resonated in me. It was the vision that God has shown me like a month, like maybe 2 months ago.
She comes from her class. She tells me, "Oh my God, I want you to check this video out and let me know what you think about it." And I remember watching the video, I jumped up and started screaming, "Babe, this is incredible." The idea is to have people doing exactly what he's doing, right? The vision of going out there, doing these mass crusades wherever the Lord leads us, right? So we don't have to do them in Africa only, right? So we have gone to Colombia, like, as a matter of fact, like right after we graduated boot camp that we came back from Nigeria, we came home and a week later we were on a plane to go to Colombia. And we did 13 cities where we evangelized, preached the gospel, prayed for the sick, saw miracles, salvations. It was awesome. There's always a time of training. And KCBC is like the foundation that you're going to need. Like, for example, as an evangelist, faith. If I didn't have the faith that I learned to have here, I wouldn't be a very good evangelist.
Yes. Hallelujah. Now, I started to tell you this a while ago. We were in Peru, and through Stanley Black, I was preaching. I didn't know there was a hospital right behind that auditorium. But while I was preaching, there was a woman there. And found out later she had throat cancer. And she's sitting there, and she began to, "I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. My throat's on fire. It's on fire. It's on fire." And while she was saying that, her doctor, and the cancer disappeared. It was gone.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes.
And she left, and she walked out of there, and she heard us singing praise. And so she walked in there, and the fire came back. She said, "This is it. Gloria a Dios." She began to praise God. Then she came back and gave her testimony about how the power of the living God set her throat on fire, and she was instantly healed of cancer next door. Partners had to send me to Lima, Peru. And a man named Hernan Babylon. Precious man. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. And I praise you and thank you. And I'm inviting all in this room who are not partners with this ministry yet, but you like to be and want to be, if you would just stand up and come stand down here and before me, please. Let's everyone stand. Anyone at all? Anyone at all, please? Thank you, Jesus. Those of you online, I need you. If I need you, God needs you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray. And I receive all of the new partners into this ministry. I praise you and thank you that Gloria and I committed many, many years at the very beginning that we would keep this ministry pure, purely on the word of the living God. To keep this ministry pure sexually. And to keep this ministry pure under the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the help of the Master, we've been able to do that for 58 years now. Oh, hallelujah. And I bless our partners as I do at every meal. Spirit and soul, their mind, will, and emotions. That they be born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. And healed and pain-free in their bodies. And I praise you and thank you. And that they be blessed beyond measure financially. One source, his name is Jesus, and many channels. And I worship you for that. Thank you. And all of our partners that are in the military, all first responders, that they be blessed. That the police officer supernaturally knows. The one that he's searching for. And I'm asking you for all of our first responders, the police, the firemen, the ambulance drivers. Oh, the angels watch over them. And in all of these different ways, they are protected at all times and in every way. And partners that are in a business, and if it be your will, they come right on up until they own that business. Some in supernatural ways, as the testimonies that we have heard. And the other testimony that we have heard about the woman in Dallas who stepped out off of the curb and broke her ankle. She said, I know the Copelands are praying for me. By the time she got across the street, her ankle was healed. And the young man in Venezuela that came up to me and said, Brother Copeland, mi little hijo, my child is sick, my son. But I know, he said to me, I know you pray for all your partners. And so I say that. I am a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and he had prayed for me, and I lay hands on my hijo, and you know something? He was healed. This revelation is so vital because it was in the ministry of Jesus. And I thank you for it. And the first partner service I was ever in with Brother Roberts, I'm the driver. And it was for $10 a month. And I had the little wooden pencil there, and I filled it out for $10 a month. And I thought, this pencil is mine. And I put it in the envelope. And about that time, hey, you. I turned around. Who, me? Yeah, you. The Lord been well, wasn't me this whole meeting to give you $10. Of course, you could tell we were in the deep south. I said, old lady, give it to me. I put it in the envelope, and I'm a partner with Oral Roberts. And I got home, and I said, Gloria, we're partners for $10 a month with Oral Roberts. She said, Kenneth, where will we ever get $10? And the bottom line, when I preached it to her, I said, Gloria Jean, we can have Oral Roberts' anointing on us for $10 a month. She said, good, the Lord will supply it. And he's been supplying it ever since. And then Oral Roberts laid his hands on me. Praise God. And that anointing came. In Jesus' name. Miss Evelyn said, Kenneth, I don't know quite why. Of course, Oral is much taller than you. She said, but when I see you lay hands on the sick, she said, I see him. I said, sure you do. He laid hands on me. She said, that's why. That's why. In the name of Jesus.
I want to read something that we read all the time around the ministry.
Yes, we do.
And this is for you. This was a word delivered through Brother Keith Moore. This is September 20th of 2002. Dave, just
yes.
Thus saith the Lord, I am rallying and raising up support to you. This was to Kenneth and Gloria. It will far surpass all you have previously seen or known. I'm joining to you new partners who are very strong financially. Brother Keith, we're believing this word. We're standing on this word. That are strong financially, and they will obey me. I'm prospering your longtime partners with supernatural increase, and they will obey me. Do we have any longtime partners in here? Let me see your hands.
Yes.
Did you hear what that word said? I'm prospering your longtime partners and supernatural increase with supernatural increase, and they will obey me. Mark this day, Friday, September 20th of 2002. From this day, there is a release to you. And to those who are joined to you, and all that you need, and all that you desire will now come quickly, much easier than in times before. It will not be by greater labor on your part, but by a supernatural multiplication and a divine release from heaven through this earth to you. And you'll do this thing I've commanded you, and you'll not come short, and you will not fail. And all this ministry that I've placed under your hand will prosper and increase mightily. You will not lack. You will not want, and you will not be diminished. Only rest in me and rejoice in me. Rest and see if I will not do this thing just as I've told you. And you'll see the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord in the land of the living.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
And so what we've been doing, since the Lord has stirred up Brother Copeland about this million partners, we are joining with him as a staff, as a team, as a church, as a Bible college, and we are calling in. I said we are calling in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call in 1 million partners
yes,
to
hallelujah.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We receive it. We believe it. We stand on that word, and we take it now, and we together are one in a million.
Yes, we
receive it, Lord.
Yes,
and we thank
are.
You that everything that you put on this man's heart to do, it will be fulfilled. It will be done. And we will have all of the finances to be able to do it, complete it, and the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And Lord, I thank you right now. By faith, we receive 1 million partners.
Right here in the United States.
In the United States.
And another million overseas. Yes.
And one of the things, Brother Copeland, that the Lord has been talking to me about is that on the Victory Channel, and with the Victory Channel, Kenneth Copeland Ministries subsidizes all 40 of the programmers that are on there. And it's amazing how every day they're all calling for partners. And so we are receiving the harvest on the seed of the partners that they're receiving into their ministries. We receive the hundredfold return of that for Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
Yes.
That's a gift.
Yes,
that
is.
Really is a gift.
Yes, it is.
So we are in agreement over that today. Are we in agreement today?
Yes.
Hallelujah.